Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon was read just a short while ago. It is the gospel lesson. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall lawn chairs in a single bound, that is what a child is like when Dad comes through the door. No shame, no fear, no limit can stop them. They miss Dad and need to tell him everything, over and over and over again. They know that Dad loves them, will care for them, and will listen to them, at least for the first few thousand words, that is. They know that he will care for them, will do what's best for them, and will love them always. Somewhere inside, they know that they won't get everything, but they know that Dad will do everything to make them feel safe, happy, and loved. Jesus is very much like that. He invites us to come to our Father with our whole lives. He invites us, the way Luther tells us, to approach our dear Father as dear children might approach him. And as you know, dear children have very little respect for their father's person. They will jump on him, tell him everything, babble on and on and on about their whole day and all there is to know about what they would like, what they would wish, what they would hope, and what they would dream, almost to the point where Dad, after smiling and hugging them once, has to tell them, go away for a little while and come back later. Jesus invites us to approach our Father this way when he begins the text of the Lord's Prayer in Luke by simply saying, Father. Treat him not necessarily as he is, as the great and mighty Lord of all of heaven and earth, which is most certainly true. Do not treat him, Jesus is asking us, as someone far off, as the distant high God of every other religion on the face of the earth, to be approached only with great fear and trembling, lest a lightning bolt strike you dead from out of heaven itself. Treat him as he would like, as your Father in heaven, who loved you and cared for you and made you his very own dear child. We come to him over and over again with all of the worries and cares of this life because he asks us to. We come to him not worrying about necessarily the words that we say, the way that we would put things, about whether or not we're bringing it to him with pure and undefiled motives. We come to him because he's Dad, and we know he'll sort it all out and do what's best for us. We do not need to worry about the answer that he will give, like some genie who was looking to trip you up in the wish that you make. We don't have to worry about exactly what the Father is going to do with our request, because we know whatever it is, it will be for our good. But the trouble is that often when we grow up, when we become less of children, we have the attitude that says we really oughtn't to bother God with all of the details of our life. After all, God knows about them already, and being good seminary students, we are well aware that he will answer them in his good time, and why bother the throne of God with all of the petty little things that we have in our life? We would rather, like a child growing up, say to our Father, I want to do this myself. I want to go ahead and use all of the gifts and talents you've given me to solve all of my problems. So you can go away and smile and look at us and say how proud we are, but let me do it for a change. Like a child, when things are well, we will once in a while say, hey, I don't need to worry God about these things. When things are especially well, we think that perhaps maybe we're responsible for the good things and the good fortune in our life. Being exalted to the rank of seminary student, we might be inclined to think that perhaps it's because of our great intelligence, our superior piety, our wonderful learning that we are here at the seminary, or once ordained that it is the cleverness and the great eloquence of our sermons that makes us such a good pastor in the field. When things go a little wrong and become difficult, when life dishes up something that we don't think we really deserve, we will sometimes still not bother God with all of those things. Instead, we will try to use all of our own wits, all of our own theological resources, all of our own cleverness to try to dig ourselves out of the hole that is forming right up in front of us like some great Florida sinkhole. Yet, the harder we try sometimes, the quicker we seem to fall, doesn't it? Because in the end, we need God just as much, if not more, than anyone else, because God has given us such a great task to do in life, to seek and to save the lost, and to preach His word. And so, if anything, we need to come as a dear child to our dear Father in heaven all the time to share with Him day in and day out, moment to moment, exactly what's in our hearts and minds. Because, after all, we do need the strength that He has. But when we do fail in this way, when we do forget to talk to God, when we do forget to draw on His resources, and even when we think that we really are something special, God is still there to be with us. When we fall, when the thunders and lightnings crash, and the child will run into the bedroom and jump into bed with mom and dad for dear life, when the same thing happens to us in life, when cancer strikes, when a beloved member of the parish passes away, when something so difficult that we cannot handle it or cope with it happens and we run to God, He is still there for us. He takes care of us anyway. Because, you see, God really is a dear Father, and He knows us better than anyone else does, including ourselves, and He provides what we need regardless of whether we ask for it or whether we really will be thankful for it when we receive it. Beyond the normal things of life, He provides us the strength to go on when times and troubles hit. After all, it was He who gave up His life in the first place to save us. When we needed Him the most, when we were lost in sin and death and in the power of the devil, He came and died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to release us from our ungratefulness, and to provide the strength for us to live day by day. He now then gives us something even more. He didn't say, "Okay, now I've given you the forgiveness of sins. Now I've taken away the power of the devil and the power of sin in your life. Go out there and take care of yourselves." Instead, He gave us another great gift, the gift of His very own Spirit, who travels with us in life and in our heart, and when we get into trouble, is there to help us with His strength, to warn us when we forget where God is and what He's done, to draw us closer to Him, and when we think we can't possibly serve one more minute in the pastoral ministry, He is there to comfort us, to console us, and to give us the strength to go on. Best of all, He gives us yet the gift of eternal life, so that when things do get terribly earnest, when the valley of the shadow of death becomes dark because it has become evening, when it is hard for us to walk and to see where our path is, we have that gift of eternal life to hold on to, because we know that no matter what happens, our dear Father in heaven will love us, and nothing can separate us from that love. And so it is that we can now, with the strength which the Spirit gives us, walk with God each and every day. We can go into one-liners for prayers as we go through the day to tell God what is really going on and walk with Him through life. We can approach Him like a dear child approaches his dear Father in heaven and give to Him all of our concerns and our joys and our sorrows, knowing that He loves us and cares for us and will give us what is best for us, eventually life in heaven itself. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.